Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I used to go by SEC Mike, now I'm Rebel Mike, and there's old everybody's favorite cousin, Hotty Totty Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hotty Totty, gosh almighty. What's going on?
Oh, man, the fall camp preview series marches on. I'm going to be honest, this is a tough one, Shane. Just wait till we get to the transfers. But, hey, I put it in the title, Shane. Are we rebuilding or are we reloading?
Oh, yeah.
That's a big question hovering around Pete Golding's Ole Miss program. So, man, I can't wait to dive into talk some Ole Miss.
I can't either. And you know what, Mike? I can't help but to think of Ole Miss and the Grove and the party. And you know what it pairs well with? Tennessee Legend Distillery. So be sure, before you go to your tailgate, you grab some TLD. Let them know the cousins sent you. They got two wonderful locations in Sevier County, one in Nashville. So no reason you can't swing by and tell them the cousins sent you. And I'll tell you what, if you want to be the talk of the party, you better grab some King Steak and thank us later.
Yeah. Hey, and I want a special shout out. I want to shout out Fred, because But thanks to his generous donations, that's why we're doing Ole Miss to close out the week. So we appreciate you, Cousin Fred. Thank you for supporting the show.
And the episode that Fred built. That's what I like to call it.
Jared said I had to turn Shane off to watch Shane. Did you just post a video?
Yeah. No, I did it. It's like 6 o'clock, you know. Okay. So yeah, just an update on the Fat Channel. So don't check it out now. Later, go check it out and give it a thumbs up. I really would appreciate that.
And then one final thing before we get rolling here. I just thought you would appreciate this, and hopefully he gets to hear it. I have no clue, Shane, but I want to shout out Cousin Micah.
Uh-huh.
And I got a phone call from our buddy Trey Wallace. Been on the show a bunch of times, right?
Yeah, yeah.
His HVAC AC broke or something, so he had to call somebody. And he was, working, and I guess Micah came to do the repairs. He overheard him and said, hey, you cover college football? You ever heard of SEC Mike and Cousin Shane? So he said, I got him out of the car. So shout out Cousin Mike. Hopefully you get to hear this. I think it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, and Trey's part of my inspiration for losing weight, man. Looking good. I'm telling you what, he's a lean, mean fighting machine. He's on Fox Sports and Fox News and everything now. So appreciate Cousin Micah helping out our boy down there.
And the only thing he says, apparently he gets in trouble with his wife because he listens to us too much. <Is that it?
laughs> Sorry, man.
We're trying to bring people together, not rip them apart.
Yeah, you know? That's right. Trust me. I fully understand. Now it's to the point where my wife's like, don't you have a podcast to do?
All right, Shane. Let's go all Ole Miss from here on out. Mm-hmm. Shout out the Rebels, Shane. They went further than anybody in the Southeastern Conference last season, 13-2, advanced all the way to the Final Four. Probably should have went to the National Championship game. I mean, I saw pass interference. I don't know about you, but it seemed pretty blatant that there was pass interference. Big win over LSU last year. Anytime you beat them, that's a great, great season for the Rebs. I had Georgia on the ropes. Really, I believe they had a 10-point lead on Georgia going into the fourth quarter. And then, Georgia dominated the fourth quarter. So they did steal that one in Athens. That was our only loss up until the Miami game. One at Oklahoma. That was absolutely huge. Mm-hmm. Whooped Tulane's ass in the playoff. And then turned around and whooped Kirby's ass in the playoff in the Sugar Bowl. So it was a hell of a run. And perhaps the start of something special under Pete Golding. We may have upgraded at head coach. Our current coach, he's got magnitudes more playoff wins than the last coach, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he'll be better prepared this time for a college football playoff run because he's been there, you know? So I can't help but think, last season, as magical as it was for those Rebels, you know, you're just this close, right? You wonder if we would have beat Miami, what would have happened? Because I think anything happens in a national title game, and I know a lot of people have dubbed Indiana, you know, one of the greatest teams post-COVID, if that's a thing. But I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter until you get that opportunity. So I know we were right there, but I feel like those Rebel fans are like, hey, we're not, this isn't like the ceiling. This isn't the thing we talk about for the next 30 years. This is just a preview of what is expected down here in Oxford.
Brodo says 39-34, not exactly built to ask, but if I was an Ole Miss fan, that's what I'd claim. You know what? all right. So again, no graphic because Pete Golding's only coached three games, 2-1. Mm-hmm. You know, massive coaching transition, but returns Joe Judge. Shane, he was a quarterback's coach. He's head coach of offense. I literally never heard that till that's what we got Joe Judge down here, head coach of offense.
Yeah.
Our special teams coordinator's back. That could potentially be big because we'll get to special teams. May have the best special teams unit in the country. But I did want to highlight our new offensive coordinator, Shane, John David Baker. Mm-hmm. So he was at Ole Miss a couple years ago, had a lot of success. And then he spent the last 2 years at East Carolina. First year at East Carolina, number 62 in the country in offensive efficiency. So not great, but a massive jump year two, top 20, number 18 in offensive success rate was John David Baker's East Carolina offense. So that's our new coordinator. Mm-hmm. He's already got experience in this system, experience with this team and Pete Golding. So I like that aspect of it. And it's kind of hard to knock this higher when you look at the numbers.
Well, it's funny because this is a football team that has a lot of transition, yet a lot of continuity, which is wild, yeah. Right? To bring a coach back that has worked hand in hand with Charlie Weiss and knows what's expected and understands the expectations and you know, it's not trying to reinvent the wheel over here in Ole Miss. I think that's huge, man.
And then as for the recent program history, I mean, it's been almost at an all-time high here. I mean, I guess you could make the case all-time high. How about this, Shane? I just kind of think this is interesting. Ole Miss has not had a top 20 roster in terms of overall talent. Now, they've not been outside the top 30, so they're in that 20 to 30 range the last several years. And I don't say that to knock them, but I say that because of all the success they had. I mean, it's even more impressive, perhaps. Uh-huh. Last couple years since the COVID season, they were 35th in the country in offensive efficiency, 21st the following year, 37th the next, 17th with that Jackson Dart year, and then 25th last year. So very solid numbers. Now, how about the defense, though? That's where I really want to highlight because in 21, Ole Miss had the number 103 defensive success rate in the country. That's awful, right? Got a little bit better to 93rd. And then you bring in Pete Golding. He's hired. It jumps all the way up to 63rd success rate in the country. And then third in 2024, one of the best in the country. Now, it took a big step back last year, 43rd. But you got to have a feeling that now with Pete Golding running the program here, and we'll get to these transfers. I mean, mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a little bit more emphasis. Maybe if we got a couple nickels over here or there, we ain't going to spend it on a Juice Wells, just waste throwing money down the well. You know, we're going to spend it on defensive players. Not to say they're going to ignore the offense, but I think an added emphasis on that defense, I think that's just what the doctor ordered here.
Yeah. It'd be hard not to, right? You know, when that's your baby. And even though you're the head coach, you want a nice, you know, perfect team. It's like, now I get to control where that money goes. So you better than believe that Ole Miss defense is about to get better.
Exactly. All right. But hey, good news, Shane. And this is a big reason to be hyped up on them Ole Miss Rebels this year. Offensive production returning 62%. That's the third most in the Southeastern Conference this offseason. How is this calculated? Passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, and offensive line snaps that are back. So, of course, our main man, Heisman candidate here, Trinidad Chambliss is back. Yeah, Ole Miss brings back 84% of the passing yards, at sixth most in the conference. He completed just over 66% of his passes for nearly 4,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, three interceptions. Rushing, not too shabby, Shane. 85% of the rushing attack is back. Third most in the conference, led, of course, by our other Heisman candidate, Keywad Lacy, who had over 1,500 rushing yards and 24 touchdowns last year. Shane, when I went back and looked at our preview from last year.
Yeah.
Barely mentioned Lacy because it was like, well, he's going to be third or fourth string, right? Hell no, he's probably just the third or fourth best running back in the country. So he just burst onto the scene. Shout out him for exploding onto the scene. Now, here's our perhaps the red flag. Receiving yards, only 25% back. Mm-hmm. That's 14th in the SEC, so damn near at the bottom here. But we do bring back Deuce Alexander. He was solid last year. He's going to have to take a big step up. And then at offensive line, pretty solid, 56% returning, fourth most in the Southeastern Conference, bringing back our starting center and both the guards. So middle of that offensive line is very entrenched in Oxford. So, you put all these pieces together, and we should be pretty prolific once again on offense.
Well, I think this is why the optimism is there. You know, I you could argue Ole Miss has the best backfield in the country with quarterback and of course Lacy returning here. So this is the reason I'm excited. This is the reason that, you know, I questioned some of the Vegas numbers, which we're going to get to here in a little bit, because I do think that Ole Miss does not miss a beat on this side of the football.
Mm-hmm. All right, how about the defense though? Defense. Only 43% of the production returns for Ole Miss. So that is near the bottom. 13th in the Southeastern Conference. How is this calculated? Tackles for loss, sacks, passes defended, interceptions, all those numbers rounded up. So near the bottom. But, man, we bring back a lot of talent here too, Shane, particularly on the defensive line, which we'll get to. Tackles, 39% are back. That's 14th in the conference. Tackles for loss and sacks, 49%. That is eighth most in the conference. And then defensive backs, just 42% of our production there. That is 12th in the Southeastern Conference. So, you know, you can look at this and say, maybe we're taking a big step back here. But just wait till we get to the transfers. Again, Pete Golding, he's got an eye for talent.
Yeah,
and basically all these damn guys that are making plays already are guys he transferred in anyway. So if he could continue that, I think they're going to be just fine on the defensive side as well.
Yeah, and you know they need to be, right. This is going to be, I feel like, the Achilles heel of this football team potentially. So we got to have a quick turnaround, and we'll get to the portal in a second. But these guys are going to need some help, Mike.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump into it. The transfer portal, Shane.
Oh, baby.
Portal Pete. According to 24/7 Sports, this is the number two portal class in the country on three. They must have been drinking that day. They got it as the 14th class. We got 30 transfers in. We got 21 out. Just making room for some studs here, Shane, like Luke Farrelly. I didn't know whether to put him as a Cal transfer or a Clemson, so I just put them both up there. Go to hell, Dabo. Carius Kerr, now again, a little bit story with him. We could talk later, but the LSU former five-star, potentially an offensive tackle. I didn't quite know what to make of him, but he could make a major, major impact. But we're adding a lot on the defensive side of the football, a bunch of Alabama transfers like Jaheim Otis and Jordan Renard that could really come in and help. One guy to really keep your eye on, Blake Purchase, defensive end from Oregon. He could really make an impact for us. Tony Mitchell, a defensive back from Mississippi State, could come in and help. Joel Aguero from Georgia, defensive back, could help. Edwin Joseph at Florida State was really, really good. And now he's here to potentially start. Jay Crawford was at Auburn last year. Mm-hmm. He's here. And then they've loaded up on receivers. Again, they're very smart with their additions. I said that was a possible red flag? Well, all they did was went out and got Syracuse's top two receivers, Daryl Gill and Jonte Cook. And then they got Horatio Fields from Auburn, who he didn't do much at Auburn, Shane.
Yeah.
But again, that's Hugh Freeze. You know, that guy was a damn cloud. He was really effective at Wake Forest the year prior. So I think we might have got a little gem there. And then perhaps our future star quarterback, Deuce Knight. Mm. So, again, very calculated on their additions here at Ole Miss. And, again, on 24/7's got this as the number two portal class in the country.
1 second, Mike. Texting Luke. Glad to have you.
Yeah, so again, I mean, the transfer portal operation transfer to LSU.
No.
Anyone thinking that is just, they just don't know what the hell they're talking about. I mean, players aren't coming here anymore. I hate to break it to you. This may be breaking news to people. Transfers ain't coming for the coach anymore.
No. Nope.
They're coming for money. They're coming for the NIL operation that you could prove you could play them. You get them on the field, make them highly productive, and send them to the NFL.
That's it.
And Ole Miss still has got people buying into that. And, hell, again, you get the number two portal class. And if it works again, guess what, Shane? They're going to have a top one or two portal class next year, too.
That's right. You created a system here, you know, and you keep doing it. I feel like so many people were surprised with how much they were able to retain, and more importantly, how much they were able to get when this portal thing opened up. And it just shows you Ole Miss has turned over a new leaf. This is a team to be reckoned with moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's jump into the projected depth charts. Again, real quick. Recruiting.
Yes.
Again, we're dominating the portal. We don't got to worry too much about recruiting, right? But
yeah,
they did get the number 26 recruiting class in the country. That is 10th in the conference. Several four-star prospects, including Shane, the number 11 running back in the country, Demetrius Yates, number 22 safety, Craig Tutt, and an edge player, Landon Barnes, number 16 edge in the country, Jace Matthews, the number 15 receiver in the country. So we may not be deep, Shane, but we got us some gems.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't even need these guys, right? I mean, these are developmental players. You know what?
Yeah, go to the gym. Go fatten up. Get ready, you know. Get that weight on, and then we'll put you out here on the football field. So, yeah, this is perfect.
All right, so let's jump into the projected offensive depth chart. And, again, don't hold this to me. I mean, particularly this one, Shane.
Yeah.
All these damn transfers. It's very hard to predict.
A lot of red, Mike. A lot of red. Yeah.
You're starting to pick it up. I appreciate it, Shane. I appreciate it.
Looks like my blood work coming back, you know?
Yeah, so it's very, very difficult to kind of project a lot of this. But I'll tell you what's not difficult to project, Shane. That's perhaps the best damn quarterback room in the country.
Yeah.
So quarterbacks, number one for me on the offensive depth chart, of course, for the Rebels. We've got Trinidad, preseason Heisman candidate. We've got A.J. Maddox back. We've got the transfer Deuce Knight. And shout out to Walker Howard. I don't know who it was. Shane, I need to apologize to one of the commenters, but they said, Mike, don't you know Walker Howard? You know, he's back, blah, blah, blah. He transferred out in 24. I said, buddy, he's not been on the team for 2 years. He transferred back, Shane. So the way I hear it, he was not a fan of the former coach. So he's back, adding some depth after being at Louisiana Lafayette the last couple of years. So, they legitimately have five or six quarterbacks. I didn't know you could do that in today's modern age.
Well, Stetson Bennett, 2.0 over here.
Perhaps. And then, second position group, I think, I'm going to give it to the offensive line, Shane, with center Bryson Sanders, Patrick Kutis, right guard, Delaney Townsend, left guard, all back. And how about Sanders and Kutis had over 1,000 snaps last season on the offensive line. I mean, that's incredible. That we got plenty of guys back with experience, including Tredez Davis, who he only played 4 games, but he was the highest rated offensive lineman, according to Pro Football Focus, on the roster last year. And then we're bringing in transfers, Tommy Kinsler from Miami, who played in 22 games 2 years down at Miami. Carius Kearns, he was the former 5-star I mentioned from LSU. Troy Everett, who was at Oklahoma, his problem is he couldn't stay healthy. So if he can stay healthy, that's a huge if. I could see him factoring in, perhaps even as a starter at Ole Miss. And then one guy out here, Shane, I literally just have his height and weight because he's not played, but shout out Enoch Wangu, 6'7", 333 pounds. That's a Shane offensive lineman if I've ever seen one.
That's right. Hey, adept, right? You know, and you kind of mentioned that Kinsler kid. That's another big one, 6'6". I think he's over 350 pounds. Yeah. You know, just massive monsters up front. So, yeah, this is, you know, I like the core, but I do like the pieces that were added around them. You know, ton of SEC-ready offensive linemen.
Right, and again, I mentioned I would discuss Carius Kern. So he was a five-star. I think they paid him a lot of money. I don't know for a fact, but if you're a five-star offensive tackle, I mean, it's kind of Captain Obvious. They paid him a lot, right?
Yes.
He got arrested in the spring, and I heard he was horrible in camp. So I put him as a backup. Yeah. So hopefully that's a wake-up call, and he gets his stuff together, and maybe he's our left or right tackle entrenched day one. I hope so, but until further notice, I got him as a backup.
Well, I mean, that's where you got to put him, you know. I mean, yeah. Let's let him get off probation, and then we'll talk about first team.
All right, how about running back, Shay? Keywald Lacy, of course. I feel bad putting him all the way down here, but the depth behind him is like,
yeah.
I mean, the next highest, Trinidad had, I think, over 500 yards, but not counting him as a running back. We got Mills Knight had 25 yards, Shane. That's the next highest total back from last season. They got a transfer from Michigan State, Makai Frazier. He had over 500 yards. And then an interesting prospect, JT Lindsey. He was an LSU guy. Didn't play last year, Shane. He had over 2,000 yards, 33 touchdowns as a high school senior.
Yeah.
He was a five-star. This was the guy, though, that, he got charged and suspended all this. There was people that were alleged, innocent until proven guilty, right? But wanted for murder, and they found him in his dorm room. So he got suspended. He left LSU.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know any of the story. I just told you the factual information. If he can get away from that situation and break out, who knows? Maybe he's the next big-time running back at Ole Miss.
We back, baby. We back.
You definitely know Pete Golding is running this thing. You know what?
Hell yeah. He don't care. He'll fix this thing. So, welcome to Ole Miss rehab. But, I'm not worried about this. This is Lacy's. He's the bell cow, right? But you do wonder, because of all the touches I'm expecting him to get this season, we're going to have some dudes step up, right? So, but if, knock on wood, all goes well, Lacy will be out there 90% of the time.
Right. And then, so last but not least, because there's a lot of talent here, Shane, but I'm going to put the receivers and tight ends. We're relying on a bunch of transfers. Deuce Alexander's back. He had 684 yards, 2 touchdowns, 44 catches last year. Luke Haas is back.
Yeah.
Now, remember, Shane, at Arkansas, his freshman year, he was on his way to a freshman All-American type year. Mm-hmm. Got hurt at Arkansas, came to Ole Miss. Then he got hurt at Ole Miss. Last year, he played in 12 games, so he was able to stay on the field for the most part. He scored just one touchdown. So, again, he's got massive potential. He's got to stay healthy, though.
Yeah.
Caleb Odom is another guy who he came in as a receiver, but they put some weight on him. Now he's a tight end. He had 19 catches, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns. Caleb Cunningham, the receiver, a couple Calebs here, but he was a five-star last year. Only played in 3 games and had 1 catch. So I got him as a backup. But the transfers from Syracuse, I mentioned, Gill and Cook, they combined to have over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns last season. And that Horatio Fields. And then I really like Cam Miller. He was a freshman last year at Kentucky, started to make some plays. And then, of course, everyone got fired, so he jumped in the portal. But I think he's got some real talent, too. So we're certainly not devoid of talent.
Yeah.
It's just very few of these guys have made any plays for Ole Miss Rebels.
Well, you mentioned the tight ends. I remember Luke, and we saw the real potential that he had, right? So hopefully a healthy offseason, maybe he can kind of springboard himself back into that mix. But, you know, Caleb Odom's another interesting one. You talked about switching him to tight end. I mean, if you see him, he's just that tall, slender type that, you know, kind of reminds me of those fantasy football days with what's his name for the Saints, you know,
just Jimmy going, Graham.
Jimmy Graham. You know what I'm saying? So
they might be related.
Just saying, maybe. So I very interesting tight end room for sure.
Now, you thought there was a lot of transfers on offense. Put on your shade, because, Nelly, the defense. Again, we are retooling this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know where we're not, Shane? Well, I mean, well, we kind of are because we're adding some depth. But we've got a hell of a trio of defensive linemen coming back here.
Yeah.
And we say it every year, Shane. Give me that defensive line. We'll figure the rest out, right? Yeah. So Cam Franklin back, returning starter. He had nearly 70 tackles, 9 tackles for loss, 5 sacks. Will Eccles, nearly 70 tackles, 11 and a half tackles for loss, 5 sacks. Sundarine Perkins, who really played out of position last year. He was playing his preferred position. He's back to with the Trader going to LSU. 81 tackles, 12 and a half tackles for loss, 4 and a half sacks. So, again, a lot to like with just the returning starters for Ole Miss on a defensive line. And then they went out in the portal, and they got a Florida transfer, Michael Brodeur, to play nose tackle. He's played in this conference. Jaheim Otis from Bama, he's obviously played in this conference. Jordan Renard, another Bama transfer. Pete Golden is going around and just collecting SEC off defensive linemen. And then Blake Purchase from Oregon. I mentioned him already. So very, very talented, very, very deep on the defensive line. And this is where you can start to see Pete Golding's fingerprints all over this program.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you said, if you're bringing one back, I want those big uglies up front because it makes life easier for those behind them. So, this is one of the reasons why I'm not panicking over all the transfers off Ole Miss defense, you know?
Right. And then next, I'm kind of splitting hairs here, but I went with linebacker as the second best. Shout out these outstanding transfers, Luke Ferrelli. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think I've mentioned, I apologize, Keaton Thomas from Baylor, Shane. He had over 100 tackles last year. He had over 100 tackles the year prior. So he's got like 230-something tackles the last 2 years. He's a beast. These are our two transfer linebackers that look to be starters from day one. So, again, maybe a little thin at linebacker.
Yeah.
But I like the star power there. And then last but not least, defensive back. Again, we got a lot of talent, but that was kind of a weakness last year. And they have addressed it via the transfer portal. Jalen Braxton and Antonio Kite are our returning starters from last year. We went to the portal and got Sharif Denson from Florida, Edwin Joseph, Florida State, Joel Aguero from Georgia. Again, Pete Golding, he looks around. He wants SEC defensive backs, Florida State defensive back. I mean, and it makes a lot of sense. A lot of talent. But this to me, I think, is going to be – We'll get to the camp questions, but this is going to be the biggest question to me, is kind of fitting all these pieces together and making it all work and managing that defensive depth chart.
Little trivia, Mike. Did I play the buck position or nose tackle?
Nose tackle.
Nailed it.
Although you look like a buck. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it was like everybody's nickname growing up, right?
What's up, buck? And then, hey, I don't want to overlook it, Shane. Sometimes I forget. Kicker.
Yeah.
Buddy, Lucas Canero, he's probably the best kicker in the nation.
Yeah.
31 of 35 last year. Remember, and if you recall, in the Sugar Bowl, made 2 50-yard field goals and a 47-yarder game winner. He probably should have been MVP of the damn Sugar Bowl.
Yeah,
I get it. I believe it went to Trinidad, and he earned it. But option two, well, I think should have been Lucas Cadero. And then punter Oscar Byrd, he's an Aussie, Shane.
Oh, yeah.
Freshman last year, he averaged nearly 50 yards per punt, and he had 14 punts down inside the 20. So this very well may be the best special teams unit in the country.
Isn't it funny? Australia is known for nothing but punters.
That's funny.
I think of kangaroos and punters. That's it.
I think of that. Well, I guess I don't think of it because Foster. Foster's beer.
Oh, yeah. First beer I ever bought. Did I tell you that? Turned 21. I was at your house. I said, let's go. I think you were with me. I said, let's go down and get a beer. You know, I wanted to test out this ID, right? And I go and I get one of them big old Fosters. Remember they had them big old cans, you know, and I bought it and he charged me. And he's like, like, don't you want to see my ID? And he's like, nah, we're good, buddy.
Could have been doing it for years.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, shout out LSU Homer Jared. They're going to need a good punter. He'll earn his money.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Brilliant. And then shout out, again, the anonymous coach comments. I just like to highlight these. Steven does a good job getting these to me. And these are just what anonymous coaches are saying about Ole Miss as Pete Golding takes over here. Those games Pete coached last year, Pete was Pete. He was himself. He was naturally transitioned into the role while staying the same dude. That's going to change. Can he continue to rely on things that have made him a big-time coach, or is he going to try to be the anti-former coach? A lot of people in Oxford want him to be the anti-former coach, but he needs to be Pete Golding. Yeah. Trinidad can absolutely rip it. We knew all that, Coach. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's the best returning quarterback in the country. He's a winner. He got a feel for the game. He's got presence. He looks like he's got tremendous leadership skills. But can that defense be improved enough to let the growth happen offensively without former offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss Jr.? Mm. And any thoughts on those comments there, Shane?
Positive. I mean, out of all some of these comments that we talked about, there was more positive, I felt like, with Ole Miss. And, you know, Pete just finally being able to do what he wants to do, you know, because he is a creator of that defense. And main reason that Ole Miss is not the main reason, but a big part of that reason that they've had the opportunities to compete for college football playoffs. So Pete doing his own thing. And then, yeah, Trinidad coming in, probably the most confident quarterback in the country. And I feel like that's going to boast well for this football team.
All right. So biggest fall camp question, Shane. I have some thoughts on the roster, but I'm not questioning Pete Golding.
Yeah.
And the culture or anything like that. But what does that look like? What does that look like when you're not just the defensive coordinator, when you're running the whole ship? And I know it looked fantastic. If I'm an Ole Miss fan, I just say, that's stupid. We were so hot, I think they got better when he took over. I think that's a fair comment to make. But again, you're riding that momentum. You're riding off trying to prove the guy that quit on you wrong. You know that fades. Now it won't fade week three when he comes back to Oxford. But I'm saying, you know, for months, like case in point, Shay, like these defensive linemen. Are they working their ass off as hard as they can to prove the former coach wrong? Maybe, but for months and months, you know how it is. It's like being on a diet. You get fired up for it, you can do it, but can you do it week in, week out?
Mm-hmm.
That remains to be seen. So, you know, was it more than just momentum? Can that be carried over through an off season? That's kind of the big question I have around Ole Miss right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I was trying to think it's tougher now than it was week one on this diet, you know? Like when you're like, oh, wait a minute, this is a lifestyle change, you know? So yeah, Ole Miss gotta have that lifestyle change and they gotta keep going. So you gotta have leadership and it's gotta be from within. It's gotta be organic, if you will. And that locker room's really gotta take over. And if it doesn't, and you're just going to work, putting in a 9-to-5, well, then that's, you know, you're lucky to win 9 games this year.
Right. And then just in terms of the overall roster, you know, we've kind of just went in depth in all of it, but it's interesting to me, Shane. I think receivers on offense, defensive backs on defense, and those guys going head-to-head in camp, I mean, that's going to be pretty fascinating because you don't know who's the starters on either side. So that hopefully will emerge. But again, if it's one of those, you know, let's say like the receivers are just making play after play after play.
Mm-hmm.
You might just be like, well, God, we don't have any defensive backs, you know, or if the defensive backs are shutting them down, maybe we don't have a receivers that are worth anything, you know? So
yeah,
I don't know that we'll have that answer till week one against Louisville. You know what?
And I tell you, man, this year is going to be a little bit different for coaches. You know, when you look at coach changes and stuff like that, I always felt like they were a little hamstrung because they weren't able to implement too much during the spring. But without that portal, I don't know, man. I think you're going to start seeing some teams a little more developed going into week one.
Yeah. And then just in terms of statistics, I'm trying to find little nuggets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And obviously Ole Miss, they run that tempo, they run pace, so they're on the field a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
They gave up 19 sacks last year, which that's not elite, but it's not bad either. It's 27th in the country. That's, you know, that's solid. Particularly, you know, teams that are at the top of that are always like Army, Navy. They run triple option. You know, those don't count. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
we would rank higher if not for those service academies. But point being, Shane, you're losing both your starting offensive tackles. Can you keep that going? Mm. I think that'll be a huge, huge question mark. Can you remain in the top 25 of fewest sacks allowed with both your starting tackles gone? That's going to be a hurdle, I would imagine, for this Ole Miss roster. And then on defense, man, they've been giving up explosive plays way too much here. Plays of 20 or more yards, they were 59th in the country, giving that up. So that not terrible, but plays of 30 or more yards, 105th in the country. Ooh. Plays of 40 or more, 106th. So they've been dreadful in allowing the explosive plays on defense last season. Now that's why you retool your defensive back so that doesn't happen. They've got to get that corrected.
I was just thinking, bring that red up again. Pete saw that red last year and he fixed it.
All right, buddy, you ready to play some win, loss, or toss?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm always afraid. Let's make sure that I uploaded it because I don't. Yeah, okay. Here's what I got. Not an animation this time. I apologize, but same thing. Win, loss, or toss, Shane, for Ole Miss this season. Now, let's go through this one by one. Games that should be wins. I got 7 here. Charlotte at home, at Florida, at Vanderbilt, Missouri at home, Auburn at home, Wofford at home, Mississippi State at home. Do you disagree with any of those?
I do not disagree with any of those.
Okay. And then I have 3 toss-up games.
Mm.
I got Louisville. Remember, that's in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
LSU week 3 at home. Georgia at home, November 7th. Those are my 3 toss-ups. So I guess you would have none of those as should be wins.
No, I do have Oklahoma as a toss.
Okay, so you're jumping ahead. So 2 likely. I have likely lost again, not guarantees.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying you're unlikely to win at Texas, at Oklahoma. So you would throw Oklahoma into the toss up.
I would throw Oklahoma into the toss.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I forgot you hate them.
No, I feel like if you're an Ole Miss fan right here, and we're just everything I've heard so far, yeah, I'm looking at it. You know what? I'm in my mind predicting that we're not gonna take our foot off the gas and we're gonna continue to roll. So if that's the case, then yeah, I feel like Oklahoma should be a beatable game.
Okay. And then the over-under 7.5, that's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Probably the most interesting one on the board. And so interesting, I'm not putting any money near it. I do worry. There's a part of me, Mike, that worries about the ceiling that Ole Miss has and the floor that could. So, yeah, it is a very, very volatile team as far as gambling this year.
Right. But their odds, 9-1 to win the Southeastern Conference, pretty enticing. 22-1
mm-hmm.
to win the national championship. You know, we did Tennessee last episode, and they're like 45-1.
Yeah.
To win the national championship. Yet again, it's just so confusing that Ole Miss is 22-1, yet they're over under 7.5. So again, I think it's the gambling community not quite bought in on Pete Golding and can he carry that over? That's just my read on the situation.
And it's one that could change the closer we get to the season. It's definitely one that could change after week one, you know, when you see what this Ole Miss football team looks like. So if you're on that, I think they're going to be as good, if not better, then this is the time to put the money on them Rebels.
All right, Chase, so let's jump into it. A week-by-week prediction as an optimistic Ole Miss fan.
Yeah.
And week one, man, this is going to be a barn burner. Louisville in Nashville. Who knows? I might just post up at Tennessee Legend in Nashville to hang out with some Ole Miss Rebs that come into town. But I really like the Louisville coach, Brohm. I think he's one of the best in the country. And I think few people, because he's been at Louisville and Purdue.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not saying he's like top five, but he's probably close to top 10. So you may be at a disadvantage, even though I'm high on Pete Golding. I think Brohm's great. He is breaking in a new quarterback. They've spent a lot of money via the transfer portal. They've stolen a lot of SEC guys as well. So this will be a real challenge, Shane, and this will be a real test, a unique challenge for Pete Golding getting a team. Again, we have seen Pete Golding in 3 games as head coach. We've not seen him with a full camp. We've not seen him with an offseason. You know, there's a lot of these coaches, Shane, that are really good coaches that struggle to get up, you know, their teams prepared for the first week. There's some coaches that can get their team fired up outstanding in the first game. Can't do it for the rest of the season. You know, I mean, these are fair questions because we have not seen it from Pete Golding. But you know what else is fair, Shane?
What's that?
Louisville getting their ass kicked. Come on, we ain't picking no ACC garbage on this show. You know what?
No. I mean, I wouldn't want to schedule this game. I mean, I'm glad we get to see it. I hate that it's a neutral site. It should be a home and home, if anything. But yes, this is the way I look at it, man. Early in the season, Ole Miss, I feel like, can really lean on their strengths with the quarterback, the running back, this offensive line. The defense may be a little bit in question, you know, trying to figure out, you know, new places and stuff. But it feels like in the last 3 or 4 years that the defense usually hits it quicker than the offense. So that being said, I feel like they may have a leg up on the old Louisville card. So put that L down, baby. That's another loss. First loss of the year for head coach Pete Golden.
Do you think the Papa John's guy is at the game? Or is that, he might be banned.
Yeah, I don't think he's allowed any. I haven't seen him in a while. Him and the Subway guy are doing something. I don't know.
All right, I'm not going to waste their time, Shane, with old Charlotte. Get the hell out of here. 2-0 at home. I mean, that's a damn pick your score type game, isn't it?
Do they still got a – no, their coach got fired, right?
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, they all got – it doesn't matter. Loss or win for Ole Miss.
And then, so week 3, this is the what everybody's waiting for, Shane. LSU comes to Oxford and bring in the quittinest coach we've ever seen. Game day, not official, but it's going to be there. And – you know, every time Nick Saban turns around, he's bad-mouthing Ole Miss. So I can't imagine the reception he's going to get. I mean, this is going to be a full day of just hype and anticipation. I mean, really, 1 day, 9 months of hype and anticipation. This is going to be perhaps a season-defining game, perhaps a program-defining game. I mean, there's just so much on the line. This is the one I don't think either coach can lose this game. Now, they could bounce back, both of them, but it's going to be a tough look. It's going to be a tough look, Shane. And I'll tell you what, it ain't going to be a tough look for Pete. Come on, Pete, whoop his ass. Get the hell out of here. I think Ole Miss, I don't even know if I'll consider it an upset. I really don't. Now, maybe if it was later in the year, I just think LSU is going to take some time. I've said that repeatedly. I think Ole Miss takes them down.
Yeah, I go back and forth with this game mainly because of LSU's schedule leading up to it. You know, they start off with Clemson, so they got this big game experience, kind of get those jitters out of the way. But who knows? If that starts with the loss, not saying it's going to, does that spiral? Do we start looking ahead to this Ole Miss game? And I just feel like Ole Miss progression on their schedule, it leads perfect to this matchup. And the fact you have them at home, this is a veteran-led offense. This is a defense that should be going by week three. I like Ole Miss, barely, but give me Ole Miss with a win here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd probably be a different story for me if it was at Tiger Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not.
Mm-mm.
And the coach coming in has basically caught out the fans.
You know? Game, so, right?
I don't know if it's official, but I think that is official. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just gonna add to it.
Hell yeah. I'll dress up as a golf ball and you dress up mustard bottle, you know?
No, I don't think so. How about week four, Shane? It's gonna be pretty excellent. We'll see what happens with Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can beat Auburn, which is at Auburn, not a given. But if they do, this is gonna set up one hell of a showdown week four. Ole Miss at Florida. Two first-year coaches, John Sumrall, we think the world of him.
Yeah.
These two coached against one another in the playoff last year. Of course, different university, Tulane. But so Sumrall, very familiar with Ole Miss. Pete Golding, very familiar with what John Sumrall wants to do. I really think this is, I damn near put this in a toss-up game. But I know it's first-year Pete Golding, but is it really? I mean, it's an established program. I think that is just far too much of an advantage for the Ole Miss Rebels. I think Florida's going to be much improved, but they ain't going to be that much improved. Come on, Shane, give me the Rebels to go 4-0 and get into that bye week. That'd be a hell of a start for Pete Golding and company.
It would. This is a tricky game, though, right? Because those emotions, win, loss, or talk, doesn't matter. Coming off of that game and then going down to the swamp. Remember last time? They traveled down there, Mike. It was not pretty. It was not expected. And you walked away with a loss. So you can't afford to have a sloppy game in this one. But I do think there's no reason that Ole Miss can't get the win here. 4-0.
Now, week five, I think it would have been a better game last year at Vanderbilt. Again, I'm selling stock in Vanderbilt. I still think they're going to be competitive. And this is a sneaky game. But again, Ole Miss got 2 weeks to prepare. That's about all I can say about old Vanderbilt. Sorry, buddy. You're going down 5-0. I think this will be the easiest conference game to date for Ole Miss.
They're going to know every back road in Nashville by the time this season's done. Yeah, give me another one here. Give me another. There'll be an Ole Miss bar we can hit later that day.
All right, now week six, the Austin Simmons Bowl, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri comes to town. Austin Simmons versus Trinidad. So I would imagine Austin Simmons, he's got, I don't want to say bad blood, but he'll have something to prove.
Yes.
You know, and I, from what I know, I think he is a fan of Pete Golding. And if Trinidad was not returning, I think Austin Simmons would be our starting quarterback. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Again, I don't think it's bad blood, but you still got to think that there's got to be something in the back of his mind. I want to prove him wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I really, you know, Trinidad had a hell of a year, right? Yeah. We would have done it. We probably would have went further if I was a quarterback. Sounds like the former coach out here being just a jackass, right? But again, I think there's something to be said for that. I think Missouri's offense could be really, really good this year. Going up against this Ole Miss defense, that I would probably give the edge to Missouri's offense.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, I think Ole Miss offense versus Missouri defense is a massive advantage in the other way. So could be a really fun game. But I'm going to take Ole Miss here, and I'm pretty comfortable about it.
Yeah, this is a grouping of games that could I'm not going to call them tosses, but it's ones that if you told me a year later they lost one of these games, it wouldn't blow my mind because they're all extremely dangerous. And if you catch them at the right time or the wrong time, you could easily lose a game. But optimistically, no reason Ole Miss fans are expecting a loss here. So the undefeated season continues.
All right. And again, one of the commenters, I appreciate, you know, we don't know Ahmad Hardy.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's back. And hopefully, you know, but that perhaps changes. Again, one player is not going to change the whole team or anything, but he's such a special player that,
yeah,
you know, his impact could, if he's back, if he's 100% by that time, look out. You know, it could very well be the difference. All right, so then that would potentially undefeated Shane on the road against Arch Manning. Oh, should have been a Rebel. Come on, what were you thinking, Arch? I mean, they'll be selling promos to this damn game for all week, you know.
Yeah.
It's undefeated Ole Miss and it's undefeated Texas. I mean, I don't know if they'll be undefeated, but they're going to get hyped up anyway. You know what I mean? So it'll be an all-time classic type game. And don't forget, who was it, Shane? Mr. Basket Weaving himself, Sarkisian out here. So, I mean, there's just bad blood galore as Ole Miss travels to Texas. And you better believe they're going to be, you know, playing that clip or putting it all over the facility, I would think, all week leading up to this game. But I also tend to believe if Sark's out here running his mouth, he's probably pretty confident in the team he's got.
Yeah.
And he's probably not going to be throwing this Ole Miss under the bus if he thinks they can beat him. So I think Texas gets it, Shane. I mean, I don't think Ole Miss is going undefeated by any means.
No. I don't think any team is going to go undefeated. But if you're picking your losses, I could definitely see this one. A lot of Manning cams at this one. Think about this. They're going to be doing Tennessee with Peyton and then Eli and Archie and all those guys. So we're going to have a ton of parent cams. So be ready for that. But I do think that at Stephens, Texas Longhorns gets them here.
All right. And then how about the following week? Now, this could be a really fun game, Shane. Auburn comes to Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
And I damn near put this in a toss-up. But again, a lot of the same things I said about Summerall in Florida, you know, they're in year one. We are several years into our program here in Oxford. You know, I think Byron Brown's going to be a really good quarterback. I think that DJ Durkin, you know, I think he's a very good defensive coordinator. So this is an excellent, excellent matchup. And if Ole Miss does not take Auburn seriously and they're looking ahead or they let Texas beat them twice, I think that's very realistic. But this is the Ole Miss preview, Shane. Come on. We're whooping Auburn's ass. Come on. We're going to be going into the Georgia game with one loss, I think.
Yeah. Yes. A little home field advantage here. So I do think this is another game that you got to be careful. It's that snake, right? You just got to walk past it. Try not to get bit because you're on a path to a potential another playoff run. So teams like this is the one that keeps you from it. So you got to be careful, but I do like Ole Miss to win this game.
Mm-hmm. I always appreciate crazy questions like this, Shane.
Yeah.
Sure. Shout out Neutral Ultra. Is there even such a thing as a dark horse anymore in the SEC? Did we not just see Ole Miss have to replace everybody and win 13 games?
Yeah.
Didn't we just see Vanderbilt go 10-2 and should have made the college football playoff? I mean, what are we talking about? Yeah, of course, there's dark horse every year.
Exactly.
Now, no dark horse here, Shane. Week 9,
mm-hmm.
Georgia comes to town. And I saw somebody in the comments there, how could Georgia be a toss-up, Mike? How the hell could that be a toss-up? Well, tell me what happened, Shane. Last time Georgia marched down to Oxford, they got their ass kicked. That's what happened. They absolutely got obliterated. And again, these teams played two games last year. Trinidad was damn near unstoppable for seven quarters.
Yeah.
He had a horrible fourth quarter, and that's why they lost the game in Athens. But had he just completed 50% of his passes, they would have been 2-0 against Georgia last year. Mark my words. So Ole Miss has no fear of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made it no bones about it, Shane. I think Georgia's the best damn team in this conference. But also, like you, I don't think anybody's going undefeated in this damn league. So, Georgia ain't scared. I know Pete Golding ain't scared. And Trinidad, Shade, he's going to have a Heisman moment as we whip Georgia's ass thanks to a 55-yard field goal at the buzzer.
Oh, buddy, I wish I had the confidence that you do, man, because I do feel like Georgia is going to be the team. Well, hell, them and Georgia and Texas, I feel like, are going to be the two teams that we're going to be talking about the most at media days about potentially winning an SEC championship. But, you know, it's tough to argue. Last year, we had a close loss and we had a close win. So I think that can continue, and it may be a drive. It may be some special play. It may be a turnover, whatever. But I never, as optimistic as I am, I've got to pick a loss somewhere, and I think Georgia would be the easiest one for me to pick.
Okay. So that's two losses. That's
two losses for Ole Miss.
Okay. All right, then how about imagine playing Texas, 2 weeks later playing, and at Texas, 2 weeks later playing Georgia, mm-hmm. and the following week, Oklahoma. I mean, this is like playing the NFC East over here, Shade. So next week at Oklahoma, beat them last year. It was an upset. I think Oklahoma might be better this year.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean the record will be, but they're going to be very formidable going on the road. You know, I've said so many nice things about Oklahoma. I would say very good game day environment.
Yeah.
But not on the level of some of these, like Tennessee and LSU and things of that nature. So it is achievable to go in there and win. I know their home record is outstanding. That's more because their team is outstanding. And again, that's not a slight on the fans. But point being, hell, Ole Miss just did it. They went in there and won. They're fully capable. And they go into tougher environments all the time and win games. So give me Ole Miss to lose to Oklahoma on the road. I think it's a little bit of a revenge game.
Yeah, there's a reason I wanted you to switch this, because I do think that this is a toss game. And a lot of these fall camp questions that you've had, and I know I can already predict what you're going to be saying about Oklahoma, those really got to be answered by this game. So if those get answered and maybe we start getting more production from that wide receiver room, the one that we have so many question marks about, or maybe, you know, Ole Miss does find that championship run within them. There's no reason they can't go over to Norman and win this game. So I think optimistically Ole Miss can win this game and probably will. So give me Ole Miss with a win here. Yes.
How much of that Tennessee Legend you've been drinking?
Me and Fred were talking the other day.
All right. Then we got, we're doing away with this, but
yeah,
we get one more week of the cupcake. Get the hell out of here right before we arrive. The Wofford puppy dogs getting their ass hammered. So going into the egg, or right, you have them winning too, right?
Oh, for sure.
Or yeah. Upset. Okay. Yeah. So that means going into the Egg Bowl with just at a 9-2 record, each of us have that. You beat Mississippi State, you're probably in the playoff. I mean, yeah. Almost assuredly in the playoff. I don't even know if Jeff Lebby at this point in time will be the head coach down there, Shade. So we're getting them at home. We own their ass. Come on. I mean, this is easy. Give me Ole Miss to win on a Friday and get to watch the games on a Saturday. I mean, what could be better than being an Ole Miss fan 10-2?
I do worry about that. You mentioned the Lebby. I was like, well, what if it's his last game? Like, they know he has to win this or he's fired. I like Ole Miss here, but do not just erase this game. This one could come down the wire depending on the season, especially if Ole Miss is in a situation when they're no longer in a playoff contention. We may have a dicey little game here. So, but I'm going to give Ole Miss the win for now.
Okay. And then the three most important games, Shane. This is how I see it. You tell me if I'm wrong about any of these games for them Ole Miss Rebels. I got LSU at home. There may not be a more important game in the country, in my opinion, for any team. I got Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
The opener, again, it, normally I wouldn't be like that, but new coach, we got to set the tone early. I think this is massively important. And then I got Georgia, number three. And again, all the nice things you could say about Georgia, I think, and in fact, I know, Ole Miss fans, rightfully so, Shane, they put themselves in the same class as a Georgia. And they should. Hell, they went to blows with them the last couple of years and held their own better than literally anybody in the country. So, again, if you lose Georgia, it's not going to kill you, but it kind of defines your, you know, if you're treading water or advancing as a program, if you're beating Georgia, you're still one of the best in the country.
It's tough for me to argue with this one. I don't like to agree with you at all, but I do think you kind of nailed this one. You know, Louisville wasn't my first knee-jerk reaction. It was actually the Oklahoma game on the road. But you brought up some really good points about the Louisville game, and it's that trendsetter. It's that momentum that we want to have. You have to have right out of the gate. If you lose that one, then all of a sudden the importance of that LSU game just kind of goes away, because now you got a lot of fans thinking, well, there's no way in hell we're going to beat LSU Tiger if we can't get past Louisville. So I think you nailed this one. Georgia is definitely a very, very important game, but I think it's more about the timing. The only reason I may switch Oklahoma in there is because, you know, there's going to be real conversations about, you know, 9-3s getting in, 10-2s, and it's going to be almost about how you finish the season, and going on the road and beating a top 25 Oklahoma could be massive for Ole Miss. So, but I could go either way on that one.
Now, how difficult would this be, Shane? And I don't want to be negative here.
Uh-oh.
But again, it'd still be 10-2, but it'd just be a different route.
Yeah.
What if they started 8-0, beat Louisville, beat LSU, beat one at Texas?
Uh-huh.
But you lose to Georgia, you lose to Oklahoma, so you got a two-game skid.
Ooh.
And then you got a cupcake, and then you got Mississippi State, which that's kind of like the SEC version of a cupcake.
Yeah.
Would they get in, or would people be like, uh-huh, they've lost? I mean, you know how people are. They'd be like, they lost their only meaningful games here, or they're on a losing streak, even though they technically wouldn't be. You know, would that complicate things?
It would, but I don't think that you'd leave them out just because of the body of work that they've done up to this point. It'd almost be like Alabama getting their ass handed to them by Georgia in an SEC championship, right? And we're like, well, I mean, look what else they did, though. I think that's what it would be.
Would it be any different, though, than last year, Vandy, 10-2? I guess
a little bit.
Ole Miss has already kind of earned the benefit of the doubt, right?
What really hurt Vanderbilt is some of the wins that they did have. Like, if Tennessee was still in the mix when they beat the shit out of them, then I feel like they would have got in. But at that point, Tennessee was out. So they kind of lost some of them points, if you will.
Okay. Well, speaking of points, last thing I like to add, Shane.
Yes.
Scale 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high. Take off your Ole Miss hat. This is just a SEC Homer hat. Confidence level 1 to 10 that Ole Miss makes it to the playoff.
I would say 1.8.
Oh.
It's tough. It's going to be a tough year, boys. I mean, I think
quarterback in the country.
It's for me, it's just
best running back that's not got shot.
Yeah, there's that, right? There's a lot. You talked about the depth behind the running back. You talked about some of these new faces and new places. Do they hit? It's more, for me, is the uncertainty of what this football team's going to look like, what this team's going to be coached like after week one, and more importantly, what does it look like after turmoil? What happens if you lose a game you're not supposed to, or you drop one? Does this team have that? You know, I want to say yes, but I mean, it's going to take a special run to get to the playoffs because it's not like there's 12 spots sitting there for us. There's realistically five for the SEC at the most. So it's going to be a tough run.
I think Jared nailed it. LSU Shane is back. You son of a... Give me a five. I think it's 50-50.
50-50. Okay. All right.
Hell yeah. Hey, yeah. We just won 13 games. Come on. And I think the defense is going to be a lot better.
Pull that schedule up one more time. Your wins and losses. Just one more time there.
Okay.
I got to see this. I mean, look, we're talking LSU. I mean, Texas, Georgia, Oklahoma. I mean, these are just college football playoff teams. Yeah, but so is Ole Miss. So.
Oh, only two of them. Well, see, here's the deal. Yeah. People just assign playoff to LSU and Texas.
Yeah, that's true.
They ain't playoff. Louisville ain't playoff.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
the two playoff teams on our schedule, we beat them last year.
Actually, Vanderbilt should have been a playoff.
That's fair. You know what else is fair?
What's that?
Shout out. Jared, we appreciate you. Man, he suffered through this Ole Miss preview, so we may have to do LSU here soon.
He said he's going to do a super every time I lose a pound.
Well, he did a couple here, Shady. Gifted two memberships, one to the maximum 25, and William Ryan's, and then the legend,
Stephen Rotad.
He gifted a membership as well to Ryan Mack. So all of y'all, welcome
to the family.
All right, buddy, anything else before we hop off the line?
No. Again, it was fun to talk a little Ole Miss football. And so what's the schedule looking like next week? Who we got? Mizzou's on the docket first, right? Do we have a second place, third place winner yet?
I don't. I was bombarded putting this together.
I got you. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. So
you just show up, Shane. Yeah. I'll let the cousins know. Then we'll tackle that when we get here next week. But yeah, so we'll have a couple more of these next week, starting Tuesday with Mizzou.
Sounds good, cuz.
Thanks to P5. All right, buddy. Until next one, everybody enjoy your weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Hotty toddy.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.